Psalm 23 applies to every aspect of our life. It is a psalm that is the foundation of your walk with Christ and is to drive out doubt and is to drive out anxiety and to settle you deeply into a confident serenity with Christ that should mark the entirety of your life.
Is anxiety a regular feature of your life? If so, you haven't taken Psalm 23 to heart. And on this edition of the Truth Pulpit, Pastor Don Green will help you appreciate and appropriate this passage of the Bible so that the Lord's peace would increase in your walk. Hi, I'm Bill Wright, and Don has titled this message, A Psalm of Trust. And Don, this psalm really gets to the heart of the Christian faith, doesn't it?
Well, Bill, this is one of my favorite psalms, and my friend, as you hear this message, it's one of dozens of times probably that I've spoken from Psalm 23. You know, this psalm does two primary things, you could say, just briefly. One, it points us to trusting God because the righteous live by faith. And secondly, it points us to Jesus Christ, who is the Good Shepherd. He leads us, guides us, and provides for us when we repent of sin and put our faith in Him.
Thanks, Don. And friend, let's get started right now in the Truth Pulpit.
What we want to do is just look at two pictures that David gives of the Lord and the way that he relates to Him with his people. And the first thing that we see in our first point is that God is your shepherd. For those of you that know the Lord Jesus Christ, God is your shepherd, and that has wonderful implications for you. Notice that David speaks with confidence of the care that the Lord will give to him in the first two verses. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd," using the covenant-keeping name Yahweh. "This faithful, promise-keeping God is my shepherd. I shall not want. I will not have need that will go unmet under the care of my shepherd." And he goes on in verse 2 and says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters." And what I want you to see here, it's easy to have the imagery that he uses of quiet waters and green pastures are naturally comforting. There's something settling just about the imagery that he uses. But what I want us to do is to go a little bit beyond the imagery and to go to what that imagery signifies and what it is that he is saying as he uses these beautiful word pictures to portray what the Lord means to him. What he's saying here, first of all, in these first two verses, when he says that God is your shepherd, he first of all is recognizing that God provides for me. Stated differently and stating it in the second person, for you as a Christian, you should consider the Lord in the sense with a primary understanding and commitment of faith that He provides for you. And that is a settled aspect of His care and His disposition towards you. If you've grown up in environments that threatened you with the loss of your salvation, if you sinned across a certain line, and that God was just waiting to strike the hammer down on your latest act of disobedience, you especially need to hear this about the Lord. If perhaps you as parents have threatened your children with a withdrawal of love, or God's going to be angry with you over this, we need to come back and kind of clear some of those misconceptions out of our mind, because the nature of God toward His people is that of a shepherd, a faithful shepherd who has the care of his sheep paramount in his affections. And if you look at Psalm 23, verse 2 again, he says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters." What's he saying here? He's saying God is like a shepherd who leads his sheep to that which will feed them and that which will water them and that which will provide for their every need. Now, in the Middle East, in the land that David was familiar with, green pastures were a seasonal phenomenon. The land was green during the rainy seasons of winter and spring, but it would turn brown in the dry, arid times of summer and fall. And so there might be times where the sheep wasn't able to see anything that was in front of it to eat and to be able to feed himself on. But even in those brown times, even when the land was sometimes parched, the shepherd, who knew the lay of the land perfectly, who knew everything about the domain and the geography of where the sheep were at, he would lead them to those places where they could find that which would provide for them. And David is saying, the Lord is like that with me. He's saying, the Lord knows the total geography of my life. He knows everything that there is about everything that is around me, and he knows exactly how to lead me to that precise place which will be the fulfillment of what he has ordained for me, to that which will care for the needs that I have in this life. And so, in those times when the ground was brown and bare, the sheep had to particularly rely on the shepherd in those times where things were scarce. And as we consider that, it gives us a picture for those of you going through the particular dry times, spiritually perhaps financially, or whatever you're going through here, as you come in, is to realize that what this imagery is teaching us, it is profoundly teaching us not to fix our eyes on the circumstances that are about us, but rather to be mindful of the fact that the Lord is the shepherd who knows the lay of the land, who knows what's ahead, who knows where to go, who knows how to conduct us. And therefore, despite whatever your outward circumstances may be, if you're a Christian, you are utterly secure. You are perfectly cared for. The sheep didn't know necessarily what was over the next hill, but the shepherd did. And there we are in a similar position with Yahweh as our shepherd, with the Lord Jesus Christ as our shepherd, realizing that he is utterly capable of leading us to wherever is necessary to provide for whatever needs that we might have. David mentions the quiet waters there at the end of verse 2. Those were the springs of water where the sheep could drink without being rushed. There was an element of rest and peacefulness and a lack of hurry as the sheep gathered around the spring to drink. And all of this is a picture. David is painting a word picture on a canvas to try to communicate to us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit the perfect way that God cares for us and the way that our lives can be marked by a deep, profound serenity. And the question is whether you know the Lord like that, whether that is the characteristic mark of your spiritual life or not. Or are you wreaked by anxiety? Are you racked by care? Well, if you are, this psalm is not so much a rebuke to that, but rather it is an invitation to realize that your life as a Christian is not supposed to be that way. That your life as a Christian is meant to be marked by this settled trust and confidence in a God who is in providential control of everything and who has your best interests at heart. This is to settle us. And beloved, this is to mark, this is to be the characteristic of our inner attitude toward the Lord. Not one of suspicion, not one of questions, why this or why that? Why did you do this? What's going to happen to me tomorrow? And with a sense of fear and anxiety characterizing us, whether it's in minor circumstances or with terminal illness or with relationships that are profoundly astray. All of those things are meant to come under this umbrella of care and to realize that the totality of who I am is in the totality of the hands of a loving, caring shepherd. So I just invite you to ask yourself whether that's the mark of your life or not, or whether you are marked by a troubling concern of anxiety. Well, if you're marked by a troubling anxiety, this psalm is the medicine for your soul. And the power of this truth is wonderful for us. What I'm about to say is just very, very basic, but at the same time, I'm pretty confident after a lot of years in ministry that not every Christian lives here. Your confidence, your trust, your peace and serenity do not come from knowing what the future holds. You do not need to know what the future holds for you in order to be peaceful and confident and joyful, like David describes in this psalm. Our confidence comes from knowing this good God who is always with us. And that is the defining cornerstone. That is the anchor of spiritual life, is the knowledge of God, not the knowledge of our circumstances, not the knowledge of the future. I was out in the car for a while the other day, had the radio on to a particular station, just kind of going through the dial, and there was an ad for a psychic that came on, playing on this fear that people have of not knowing the future and using that to bring them into fraud and deceit and potentially demonic activity in order to calm their fears. Well, you understand, don't you, that none of that has any relevance to us as Christians, that we don't need any of that. We don't need to know what tomorrow holds at all, as long as we understand who God is, that we belong to Him, and that He cares for us like a shepherd cares for his sheep. God is your shepherd. He will provide for you. And that's guaranteed as you go further along and deeper into the psalm, as David unpacks this imagery for us. Look at verse 3, as he says, God, it's not just that He provides for you, but He's going to show us that He guides you in verse 3. And I love this, again, that just the certainty and the confidence of this. In Psalm 23, verse 3, he says, He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. There is this, the shepherd guides the sheep and directs them and takes them to where they need to go. David says, that's exactly what the Lord does for me. This is exactly how he directs the course of my life. Proverbs 16:9 says that the mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And what you and I have to do is we have to step back from looking at the circumstances around us and realize the hidden, the invisible realities that govern the universe, and to recognize and to affirm and let it shape our approach to life what Scripture says about the prevailing providence of God. That He is in charge, that He loves us and cares for us, and therefore, as we go through life, He is directing our steps with a hidden hand to certainly bring us to the place that we need to go. The paths of righteousness, that term there, can also be understood as the right paths. And I like that idea, the right paths. In other words, the path that is uniquely appointed for you. The life that God has uniquely created you to live as the stage upon which you would play out His glory in your life. He guides you into the right path so that result would be accomplished. The shepherd knows what lies ahead, and he leads the sheep in the path that leads to the right destination. Sometimes the outward surroundings of life will seem to contradict that. I understand that. It seems like much of my life was spent living in that sense of contradiction between what I saw and what actually the reality of things were to be. And so I say that with sympathy as we talk here. But beloved, here's what you need to think about. And we'll talk about this more toward the end of the message also, but I just want to bring it out here as well. As we're reading about the Lord as our shepherd, as we remember that Christ described Himself as the good shepherd who laid down His life for the sheep, beloved, honestly, you and I both, we really need to get beyond this sense of prevailing anxiety and worry that sometimes marks us in our lives and see that for how unworthy it is of our Christ. There is no reason for us to question what lies ahead. There is no reason for us to question the intentions of God in our life, for those of us that know Christ. There is never a justification for doubting His love. None whatsoever. How can you say that? Not knowing the circumstances that everyone is in. Look, you don't have to know the circumstances. We know all that we need to know about the love of God by looking back 2,000 years to the cross of Calvary, where Christ laid down His life as a ransom payment for your salvation, as that which would pay for and expunge your sins from the record so that you could be reconciled to God. And this should be especially clear in our minds after Psalm 22, of just recognizing the fact that He suffered and He bled and He died in utter isolation out of love for your soul, out of love for you, out of a desire to redeem you and to secure your soul infallibly, that you might be with Him throughout all of the halls of eternity. On what basis, beloved, do we ever question the love of Christ for our souls? On what basis do we ever doubt Him? That's so unworthy of the cross, isn't it? Can you imagine? I've said this before. It's just a reflection of how often my mind goes back to this. Can you imagine standing 2,000 years ago, understanding the purpose of salvation and why Christ was on the cross, and look up at Him and His sufferings and saying, you know, I'm really not sure if you love me or not? That's unthinkable. And the thought of that's really almost blasphemous, isn't it? To challenge the love of Christ in light of Calvary? How could we do that? And here's the thing. There just comes a point in your spiritual life where there are certain questions that you just consider to be asked and answered, and therefore they're not to be raised again. That was a common objection to a line of questioning in a courtroom. Your Honor, that question's been asked and answered. It shouldn't be asked again. Objection sustained. Don't ask that question anymore. Well, look. That's the way it should be in the way that you think about the love of God and the love of Christ and His care for you. That question should be settled, and you should not permit your heart to reopen it as if it was open for discussion. The love of Christ is not open for discussion. The care of the shepherd for the sheep is never to be questioned. We are to rest and settle in that. And it's not just the negative saying, I'm not going to question that. It's the positive dimension of that especially that says, not only am I not going to question against it and doubt it, to the contrary, I'm going to repeatedly affirm it and rest in it and let that shape the entire way that I view life. My life is shaped by and directed by a Christ who loves me supremely. He's established that at the cross. I'm going to glorify Him for that forever. And therefore, in this little interim period of time where I'm not sure of what the next step is going to be, I'm not going to go there. I'm going to rest in Him. I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to honor Him. I'm going to praise Him before I even know the answer to my dilemma. Why? Because He provides for me. He guides me. He's like a shepherd. The sheep didn't rise up in rebellion against the shepherd. Why would they do that? That was their source of provision, their source of guidance. And as you go deeper into this psalm, you just see how certain this is, how necessary this is, by which I mean it could be no other way. As you go deeper into Psalm 23, you see the utter certainty of these things. Look at Psalm 23, verse 3 with me again. And realizing that God's preeminent goal is His own glory in the universe, Psalm 23, verse 3 has an incredible phrase at the end of it. It says, He restores my soul. Christian, even in your sinful ways, even in your failures and your disobedience of the past day or two or three, the shepherd is there to restore your soul, to cleanse you from sin, to restore you to a right relationship with Him, having your heart cleansed from all unrighteousness. That's how gracious and loving and merciful He is. And He guides me in the paths of righteousness. What? Why? This is incredible. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. This is a guarantee of the certainty of God's skillful direction of your life. It's an absolute guarantee that is something that transcends whether you deserve it or not. It transcends your ability to understand it. It's something that transcends you altogether. This amplifies the certainty of it. What this verse is saying is that God stakes the honor of His name on the way that He leads you. He guides you for His name's sake. This is for His glory that He does it. And His glory can no more fail than the universe could collapse while He is upholding it. And it's another guarantee of the certainty of His blessing on His sheep. He guides you because He intends to bring glory to His own name out of the way that He handles your life and your circumstances. What does that mean? When the Lord is your shepherd, when God has guided you to the exact place where you are right here, where He has guided you is precisely the place where He will bless you for His name's sake. The spouse that you have, the children that you have, the job that you have, the lack of things that you might have, the abundance that you have, all of that has been orchestrated by God to bring you to exactly to this point where He would lead you from here on out in order to bless you to the glory of His name. And so there is far more to the circumstances of your life. There is far more to that which causes you anxiety. There's far more at stake than what happens to you or to me. There's so much more that's going on in this invisible realm that we can't see or touch that is the ultimate reality of what God is doing in your life. He intends to bring glory to His name through the overall way that He deals with you in life. And so, in order to magnify His name, in order to show forth the goodness of His character, the greatness of His grace, the magnitude of His mercy, how could it do anything other than come out supremely good for you in the end? It's for His name's sake. There will be no one standing in the realms of eternity looking on you and saying, "Oh, God failed in His dealings with you, didn't He? Look at the little corner that you're standing in." No, it's not going to be like that. God will be supremely glorified by the way that He deals with us. And the outcome of our lives and the outcome of eternity far transcends any individual difficulty or struggle that we're going through in any particular time of our life. And so the Lord has led us to this point. He's going to lead us on. He's going to glorify His name for us. We are going to experience the blessing of His guidance and provision in the end. You know what this teaching from Psalm 23 does for you on a practical level? It keeps you from making mistakes that are rooted in your dissatisfaction with life. This is very significant and it's very important, and will bring a lot of stability to your life if you will receive it and believe it and rest in it. When you understand the implications of Psalm 23, you no longer reason on this level, which is so common to the thinking of the world and probably predominant in most of your friends, whether Christian or otherwise. You don't reason on this level where you say, "I don't like this situation. I don't like these circumstances. I have to get out of here. I have to move on. I need a new job. I need a new spouse. I need a new this or that." No, 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 no. That is not Christian thinking. That is an entirely wrong way to think. When you understand that the Lord is your shepherd and that He is guiding you and providing for you, and in the midst of exactly the life that He has given to you, you think more along these lines. You look at your dissatisfaction and the temptation to make a hasty decision to get out of it. And then you step back and you say, no, my shepherd led me here.
We'll pause right there for today, but Pastor Don Green will bring you the conclusion of his message, A Psalm of Trust, next time here on the Truth Pulpit. Be sure to join us then. Right now, though, Don's here with some closing words.
Well, as we close today's broadcast, I just want to express my gratitude for the many friends whose generosity make this program possible. You know, if you would like to join with those who are supporting us, you can do so at our website. Here's Bill to tell you how.
Just visit us at thetruthpulpit.com. And while you're there, you can learn more about how to get free downloads or CDs of Don's teaching so you can share them with family or friends. That's all at thetruthpulpit.com. I'm Bill Wright, inviting you back next time when Don Green presents more from The Truth Pulpit.